the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today, and things are looking a little different. So if you have no idea what we're talking about, then tune in to Facebook right now, facebook.com/Catholic Community Radio, because we are live in our new New Orleans studio. We'll tell you all about that. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quivido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So how's the new accommodations, Miss Gabby?
It's so good. I have to thank Albert DuPont. Just a little sneak peek. It has to do with Loyola University in New Orleans. We'll tell you all about it.
Right.
But I want to start off with prayer, Alicia,
yes,
and then get to the guests.
Let's pray, y'all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh God, you set St. Rose of Lima on fire with your love, so that secluded from the world... And I'm sorry, away from a life of penance, she might have give herself to you alone. Grant, we pray, that through her intercession, we may tread the paths of life on earth and drink at the stream of your delights in heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Rose of Lima,
pray for us.
Pray for us. I'm so excited about today's show. We're joined by Adam Bartlett. He's a founder and CEO of Source and Summit, which is a new Catholic software company that publishes missals, hymns, and other musical and liturgical resources. So I think this is a perfect time to talk to Adam about this. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. Ellen Migliorato joins us to talk about teens and video games. I think we can kind of back that up to kids and video games and then move our way on up, adults and video games.
Probably.
Every age in video games, right?
Every age. So how should there be time limits? Screens, we all know that screens bring out just a different side of some people. So we've talked about this with Dave Jr. Alan's going to dive deeper into this with teens. And David Adams, he is the Vice President of Missions for Cross Catholic Outreach over in Florida. And he's talking about relief efforts for Haiti. So they've done some wonderful work with Haiti relief in the past when it comes to earthquakes, hurricanes. And we know that they're really having a tough time right now. So he's going to talk about how we can continue to help them. They also do Box of Joy every year around Christmas. So Damian, lots of ways for us to help those who need it the most.
Yes, yes. We'll be looking forward to talking to him. Weather-wise, one good thing we have to look forward to, sunny skies today.
Right.
A few clouds here and there, so it's going to be mixed in. But overall, expect a stray shower. Very light, though. Maybe 15, 20% chance you're going to get wet today versus later on in the week. But it could happen. Winds are very light and very variable. So right now they're kind of shifting. Nothing to worry about, though, as far as that is concerned. Currently in Biloxi, 83 degrees, though, even though they have a 5 to 10 mile an hour breeze coming off the Gulf Coast. It's a hot one.
Wow.
The cool spot, home at Thibodeau in Baton Rouge, 78. And in New Orleans right now, it's 81 degrees. So going to be a nice day overall. Mm-hmm. As long as you can handle the heat, you're going to be fine.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I like that you didn't give us a heat advisory.
Yeah.
It's always a good day when there's a heat advisory.
Everybody puts out a heat advisory. In Louisiana, if we haven't been able to live with this by now, move north, is what I tell you. You know,
it's just
amazing.
Like the frizzy hair.
It's sort of like, why even say it? It's just a part of life. Yeah.
You're right.
For us.
Yes. Thanks, Damian. We have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It is 7:05 on Wake Up.
Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Gospel comes to us from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You lock the kingdom of heaven before men. You do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You traverse sea and land to make one convert, and when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna twice as much as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'If one swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated.' Blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that made the gold sacred? And you say, 'If one swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated.' You blind ones, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? One who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. One who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
In the book of Isaiah, God instructs us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In the book of Job, we learn, "For he wounds, but he binds up. He strikes, but he heals." When God chastises us in this life, it is always an expression of his mercy. God has all eternity for his justice. God's mercy is exhibited in today's gospel when Jesus delivered a severe wake-up call to the scribes and Pharisees. The worst thing God can do is to leave us alone with our bad choices. Then we are utterly helpless and lost. So the seven woes are a hard-hitting attempt to break through the stony hearts of proud men. Six times Jesus calls them hypocrites, with the terrible somberness of a death toll. Six times Jesus follows his accusation with an example of their hypocrisy, which exposes the grave contradictions involved. The reality Jesus exposes will not be further than the false image they love to present to the world. Just as the Pharisees represented the very antithesis of a disciple, so too this catalog of seven woes constitutes the very antithesis of the nine Beatitudes that Jesus promulgated at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. Together, they offer Christians a distillation of the way to eternal life in contrast to the way to eternal death. Here, God's judgment delivered by Moses in Deuteronomy also applies. "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and clinging to him." The woes also focus on the corrupting effect the Pharisaical behavior had on others, a problem in the church today that calls for our conversion and intense prayer. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's gospel and gospel reflection. Hey, take a look at that shot, because it looks so shiny and bright, and I'm all about that. So I'm so excited, you guys, to officially... The cat's out the bag. So we have officially announced our partnership with Loyola University of New Orleans. And a big thank you to Albert DuPont, who is in our production studio right now, punching all the buttons, all the wonderful camera angles. Hey, Albert. That's Albert. Thanks. He is amazing when it comes to fixing something. He knows exactly what's wrong. So I'm just so excited to bring in students to come in, help work with the morning show, help evangelize, and tell them about the wonderful things that Wake Up and Catholic Community Radio has to offer. So I'm so excited about this. You guys will teach them how to, you know, audio and video production, how a morning show works, because this is very real. And there's so many screens around us, thanks to Loyola University. This is actually a classroom, and we're using it for Wake Up. It's pretty cool. And they have some wonderful production facilities here, and it's just very impressive. You guys, I'm so excited that this has been in the works for 6 to 7 months, I would say. It's been really amazing just to see in that wide shot. So we'll be having guests in our studio again, in our New Orleans studio, drive time, and it's just going to be wonderful. Oh, that's a nice shot. Thanks, Albert. You can see my stainless steel dosage tumbler right next to me. It's just so nice.
Can everybody hear Albert's voice at least? Know he really exists? And he's not, you know, artificial intelligence or something
we
like that?
We did see him wave.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, our friends who were driving to work this morning couldn't see him, so it's good to hear from
you,
Albert.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Welcome to the Wake Up Crew, Albert.
Yes. It is so good to have you here, Albert. Just such wonderful news, and we're so excited to bring this collaboration. When we toured Loyola, we were just blown away, and we were just so excited for this partnership. I think it's going to be really good, and it's a good step for Catholic CUNY Radio, just the fact that we are evangelizing, doing outreach, and that Loyola is wanting to do this with us. I think it's a wonderful way to continue to reach more people and also get young people involved as well.
Yes.
With Catholic production, TV, video, radio, media in general. I think it's a great step.
So you'll have students in there helping, Gabby?
So we will have students working with Albert in the production room from time to time, working on the morning show.
Cool.
And I just think it's great. Hey, the hands-on experience is what helps when it comes to something like this. So I'm so excited.
Internship programs. I know that's how I got started in the business.
There you go.
Who hasn't almost, you know?
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, good. So, Gabby, are you in the New Orleans at the Loyola studio every day of the week?
So I will be at the Loyola studio on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So we'll be working with... obviously, today is the first day of classes for a lot of people over on campus. So we'll be working with the students as the semester goes on. And hopefully within the coming, hopefully we can keep doing this. So I'm loving this. It's going to be really great. So check us out on Facebook or live, facebook.com/Catholic CUNY Radio. You can watch us live and in color. And I'm very much excited about this new.
And we want to thank the Archdiocese also for their assistance prior to today.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, they gave us the accommodations and studio we needed to broadcast from New Orleans.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yes. So stick with us. We have your Saint of the Day coming up right after the break. It is 7:15 on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 23rd. Today we celebrate Saint Rose of Lima. Born in Lima, Peru in 1586, Rose was named after one of nature's loveliest flowers. But fearing that her beauty would endanger her relationship with God, she tried to mask it by rubbing her face with pepper to produce disfiguring blotches. Later, she wore a thick silver circlet on her head that was studded on the inside to resemble a crown of thorns. Modeling herself after Catherine of Siena, she concentrated on prayer and acts of penance. Rose rebelled when her parents spoke of marriage for her, but they refused to let her enter a convent. Out of obedience, she continued her life of penance and solitude at home as a member of the Third Order of St. Dominic. During the last few years of her life, she set up a room in the house where she cared for homeless children, the elderly, and the sick. The city of Lima turned out for Rose's funeral in 1617, with prominent citizens taking turns carrying her coffin. In 1671, she gained the distinction of being the first canonized saint of the Americas. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Saint Rose de Lima, there is a beautiful church, Saint Rose de Lima, over in Bay St. Louis in Mississippi, and it's so unique and quaint. So if you're ever in the area, the Mississippi Gulf Coast, maybe attend Mass over at St. Rose de Lima. It's a beautiful, beautiful church and very vibrant, and I love it. So let's talk about prayer requests, because I think we could all use some prayer requests. You can send us your prayer requests at our website, ccradio.live. Under the Resources tab, click on Ask for Prayer, or you can call our Prayer Force line at 225-341-2720. And follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Catholic Community Radio. And we're on Twitter at LA Catholic Radio. So reliable Catholic news can be found on our social media accounts. So follow us when you're on there. I am excited to welcome our next guest. We have Adam Bartlett joins us. He is a founder and CEO of Source and Summit, which is a new Catholic software company that publishes missals, hymnals, and other musical and liturgical resources. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Gabby.
It's so good to have you with us. How timely is it to have something like this for our church? So tell us a little bit about Source and Summit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, we're launching Source and Summit right now, but really this is an effort that's been at work for well over a decade. I think you're right that the timing's impeccable coming out of this pandemic, and parishes are, working on the renewal, kind of the path forward after this big disruption that we're in. And we're just really excited to be able to serve, to serve parishes at this time. Source and Summit exists to help parishes elevate the liturgy, which really means to place the liturgy at the mountaintop of the life of the church and of our parishes. And there are so many good things that we do, like evangelization and serving the poor and engaging with the culture and, catechesis and formation and all the different things that we do as Catholics. The Source and Summit is trying to help parishes elevate the liturgy, to position it at the mountaintop so that it can be the goal toward all, that we do is aspiring and the font from which all things flow. And we do that primarily through giving parishes resources and tools to help make that possible.
So whenever I hear Catholic software company or software, I think it turns off a lot of people, especially those who aren't a fan of computers. And I just know I'm talking about a few older family members and friends who, so how do they get in touch with this? How do they experience something like Source and Summit?
Yeah, sure. So our digital platform is actually a resource for the parish office. So this isn't really something that we're necessarily presenting to every Catholic in the pew. It's a liturgy preparation tool that has an expansive music library. It has hundreds of hymns, thousands of chants, and lectionary readings, and all the tools that a music director and a pastor would need to prepare beautiful liturgical celebrations. So from that tool, they can get what they need to produce booklets that they might print and put in the hands of parishioners. We actually have a digital share feature that was really useful, especially during the COVID lockdowns, and still, in some places can be useful. And then also, we have our Source and Summit Missal that integrates fully with this platform, so that the missal can be in the pews with everything that the faithful need to participate in the liturgy fully. And then the digital platform will support and complement that.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about Pope Francis in the year of the Eucharist. How has Source and Summit really focused to bring Catholics more in tune with why we are Catholic and a main focus on the Eucharist, especially this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Eucharist is at the pinnacle of this summit that we're talking about. We often hear that the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Church's life, and it certainly is. But it's actually, when we really understand that fully, the celebration of the Eucharist and which really is the liturgy, and that's the Eucharistic liturgy, and it also flows out into the liturgy of the hours and the rest of the sacramental life of the Church. So there are a lot of initiatives that are going on in the Church, and rightly so, to respond to, a really challenging situation where we've discovered that 70% of Mass-going people actually do not believe in Christ's real presence in the Eucharist. That was an alarming statistic that we discovered, even before the kind of crisis, year that we've had with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so we were already, you know, dealing with a really pretty significant situation. One response that the USCCB is putting together is a Eucharistic revival, and that's an initiative over the next 3 years that's going to be rolling forward. And we've had an involvement in the preparations of that a bit and hope to have a significant involvement. And one of the important initiatives there is not to focus merely on a didactic and catechetical mm-hmm. approach to this challenge, but a very, you know, charismatic and experiential approach. So the best way that we can do that actually is by celebrating the liturgy in such a beautiful and dynamic, radiant way that when people enter and participate in it, they can't do anything but believe that Christ is here, Christ is present, and this is something that transcends everything else that I do in my life.
Wow. We have, you know, Catholics of all walks of life are practicing the faith at the moment, whether it's the traditional Latin Mass or the ordinary form, or they're trying to get back into Mass and get back into that rhythm because of COVID. How does Source and Summit cater to all Catholics?
Yeah, well, for one, our resources are focused on what is sometimes called the ordinary form, or, you know, the Novus Ordo. We don't really use that term, but in that Mass, according to the Missal of Paul VI. So it's not it follows the revised calendar, et cetera. So we're not able to deal, you know, and work with the extraordinary form much, although we love it and so on. One of the benefits of our platform and Missal is that it will include over 90 hymns in Spanish, and two Mass settings in Spanish, and the bilingual reality that we face in parishes is a very real one. Mm-hmm. Yes. There is a fair amount of Latin as well, so we have really three languages that are at play. And then we have, you know, just really our Missal and our platform at its core is putting on display and putting Catholics in parishes in touch with what the Second Vatican Council called a treasure of inestimable value, greater than that of any other art. And it's talking about our sacred music tradition. There's such richness there, such a universality that we find there that really, you know, it can reach everyone, no matter where they're at.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the one diocese that comes to mind is the Archdiocese of Galveston and Houston. I think it's one of the most diverse dioceses in the country. When it comes to Vietnamese Catholics, Hispanics, and so on. So, Adam, is this something that a parish can get for their parishioners, or how do people, where can they go to find out more information?
Yeah, so they can go to sourceandsummit.com, and the parish is able to subscribe. So it would be, you know, a pastor, or it would be a music director, a director of liturgy, et cetera, in the parish office who would actually subscribe. And then they could make the missals available and the, you know, the benefits of the digital platform available to Catholics. So if there are any lay Catholics, you know, who are listening and want to go have a look, who don't have an involvement in preparing liturgy at their parish, they can still have a look, learn about our mission, you know, learn about all the great benefits that we can offer, and share that with their pastor or with their music director.
Wow, wonderful. You know, one of the things that I think has come out of the pandemic that is so great is the fact that as Catholics, we've come up with new ways to offer our faith to people who are homebound, who want to get back in touch with the faith. And I think Source and Summit is exactly what a lot of people are looking for. Adam Bartlett, founder and CEO of Source and Summit, I posted the link in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video, or one more time, you can go to sourceandsummit.com. Adam, thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to keep you in our prayers. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Gabby, so much, and likewise.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
There's so many resources that we have found, whether it's been with the traditional Latin Mass that's online and getting those resources out there, or the ordinary form, or charismatic renewal, charismatic Catholics. So we're really trying to get everyone in, who is participating in the Mass, and get those resources out there. I think a lot of people are thinking outside the box, and that's what we have to do, especially during these times of the pandemic. So I'm excited about that. Well, coming up right after the break, I know that we're looking forward to this topic about video games with Alan Migliorato, teenagers. I know when we had Dave Jr. on with the Diocese of Home and Thibodeau a few months ago, he talked about video games and what it does.
That's right.
And, I don't know about you guys.
It'll be great. Just being selfish, I was hoping Alan would talk about what happens when you take your first child to college, because that happened to me last week. But, you know, I thought, well, it's good to know about video games, too. My kids aren't super video game
kids. You say that now.
But you don't know.
What you think she's doing in the dorm room.
I can guarantee she's not playing video games. That's just
wheelhouse. She better be in class. Huh?
Well, you know, so many classes are virtual, so... Hard to know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes. Sitting in the dorm doing class. But anyway, it is 7:30. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Wake Up. We'll be back after the break with our next guest. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll look forward to talking to Alan Migliorato.
Yes.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Friday, the Chinese Communist Party Congress formally adopted China's new three-child policy. One surprise may be that the old social maintenance fee penalties for violating child limits is gone. What is not gone is state monitoring of fertility. Over 40 years of that monitoring has made a cultural change in the way couples view sexuality and fertility and children. China faces an imminent depopulation crisis. The case of an Alaskan woman is highlighting the need for medical vaccines, especially experimental ones, to be administered voluntarily. Courtney Chavez requires life-saving medical treatment for multiple autoimmune disease and blood disorders, and those conditions make vaccines risky, so she has rejected COVID vaccines. The dilemma is Chavez is now being denied life-saving medical treatment over her vaccine status and says other patients are facing the same dilemma. This is Life News Radio. The view, the accurate view of the human person, changes everything. The news you hear and see pertaining to the human person has the power to inform or misinform your opinions and what you do with the gift of life and what you allow your government to do. It's why we at this station offer news on the life issue. We hope you carefully assess what you hear, read, and view. Efforts of religious groups and international politicians are trying to gain the release of Alva Fixler from Britain. British doctors and courts with a history of embracing the futility of disabled children and removing life support to hasten death are ignoring doctors offering aid for Alva in both Israel and the U.S. The link to a popular petition to support Alva is at lifenews.com. For pro-life headlines, delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 7:35. Thank you so much for joining us on Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. Well, it's Monday, and you know what that means.
Big Al Day.
Big Al Day. It's Alan Migliorato Monday. Alan is the founder of Adventure Catholic Youth Leadership Formation Training. He is the author of The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter, as well as the co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Good morning, Alan.
Family, how are you?
There you are. I missed part of that, but we're glad that you're with us this morning. How is it in sunny Florida?
Sunny? I'm not sure we got the memo on that, but it's been raining on and off. You know how Florida is. It's like every day at 3 we get a end of the world summer storm.
That's how it is, right? That's how it is down here.
We're getting it here too.
That's the good stuff. When the steam comes off the pavement, it's all the good stuff. So tell us about, we're talking video games today.
Yeah, so video games with kids, it seems to be one of the things that really drives their appetite. And I mean, I think I remember back to when like video games first became really popular, like back to the Pong days, you know, where you just had the things going across the screen, one ball, and you had a rectangle that you had to stop it with. Yes. But even that was kind of addicting, you know, and you know, it was like, okay, well, what's the next level? What's the next level I can get to? And then Donkey Kong was, I love Donkey Kong. And I, quite honestly, I like some video games. There's a few that I really like.
Yes.
But we've got to watch the time that we spend on video games. Mm-hmm. And now I want to make something like really clear on this. When I talk about video games, I'm talking about anything that absorbs our time or that consumes us instead of us consuming it.
Yes.
Right? And so a lot of times parents ask me for tips on how can I get my kids to stop doing whatever activity it is that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And what really they're asking me for is how can I control my child? Well, there's all kinds of ways that you can do that. There's all kinds of ways that you can make your kids stop playing video games. Okay. I'm more concerned with how do we get our kids to realize that their actions are damaging or absorbing or consuming them, and how do we make our kids stop that on their own? And so that's the trick, right? Is because we can, it's easy for us to say, you're grounded, you're not playing video games, you played too much. Yeah. And then we ourselves can go back to watching 8 hours of whatever show we want on television.
Right.
You know, but we got to watch the kind of activities and actions that we are putting out there and you know, live by modeling what we want them to live. And so some of it's them just being teenagers and they just like to play video games and they're cool and, you know, And they are. There's some really cool graphics on video games.
Right.
But what I do is I'll challenge my kids. Hey, how long do you think you've been playing that? You know, I ask a lot of questions with my kids. Mm-hmm. How long do you think you've been doing that? And they're like, I don't know. Well, if you did know. I mean, maybe, you know, look at the clock next time you start and then look at the clock the next day when you stop. And maybe you played too long.
Yes.
You know, and it's one of those things where, like, they'll start to do it. Sometimes they get absorbed in something, you know. And my kids don't necessarily do that all the time. But whenever they get themselves a new video game or something, that seems to they play it. It's kind of like binge watching our favorite show.
They play it till they wear it out almost.
Yeah.
So it's one of the things that I challenge parents is to, you know, help your kids become aware of their actions. But we've got to become aware of our actions as well.
Yes.
And I remember years ago when, this is years and years ago, but my daughter, you know, got a new video game and she was playing it how long have you been playing that? And I'd always ask that question. She goes, well, how long do you think you've been watching TV? And I was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I said, well, let's do this. I said, let's turn TV off because you're right. Mm-hmm. And let's go outside because I think I've been watching TV too long. So let's go do something different. And she goes, okay. And she put her video game down. So it made me aware of, well, I mean, she wasn't really being sarcastic. I guess she was a little bit, but it kind of caught me at the right time where I didn't go, well, who do you think you're talking, you know?
Yes.
It was more like, wow, like she called me out because I was calling her out. And it made me, you know, aware of it. I'm not perfect by far. My wife has lists of things that I'm not perfect at. But, you know, we have to be honest and realistic with what we're doing. If our actions, we can't say, you know, do what I say, not what I do. That's not parenting. That's dictating.
Alan, have there been studies that indicate how long a person could watch a video game or should be playing video games, teens in particular, before it becomes an obsession or an addiction of sorts?
Well, so I look at myself. Like, if I watch a show on television, I try to get up and do something different. You know, how long is a show? If it's a movie, it's a couple of hours long, right? If it's a television show, we're talking about, 30 minutes?
Right.
Maybe to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you find yourself kind of growing roots where you're sitting because you're absorbed in what you're doing, then maybe it's time to get up and do something different. Like, you know, go read a book. Put the electronics down and read a book. Or go outside. Go for a bike ride. Go for a walk. If it's raining, play cards with your kids. Play dominoes.
Yes.
Color. I mean, I don't care how old your kids are. I guarantee you there's a craft that they would enjoy doing. And so, like I always say, you know, do these kind of things with your kids and get away from the electronics so much.
Mm-hmm. You know what I find, Alan, is that when we do that, when we pull out the board game or pull out the deck of cards, and sometimes the kids are, you know, we call it, at my house, we call it forced family fun. And it always ends up being fun. Like, they always, we're like, oh, it's time for forced family fun.
Yeah,
you know?
No, of course.
There's
we're breaking up a little bit. I'm not sure if I'm talking over you or not, so I apologize if I am.
No, you're good. You're good.
The same thing with ours is, you know, but you can also get absorbed in playing a board game for 4 or 5 hours. You know, a Monopoly marathon is not necessarily a whole lot better than, you know, a marathon of them playing video games. The only thing that I feel is more effective with the board game is that you're spending family time together instead of them spending one-on-one time with, you know,
fight breaks.
No, I think it's interacting with real people, with live people. Even if you play, have a Monopoly marathon. I think that's a great thing. Problem solving, dealing with your
cheating.
Parents. And, no! Well,
my
your
kids won't play Monopoly with me anymore. I never knew how to play. I never played when I was a kid. And then when I did play, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is like running a business.
Yes.
And I, like, completely I monopolized them. So they're like, we're not playing anymore. That's when they were little.
Exactly, Ellen. You and I had the same.
You were the one with all the houses and all the hotels and Park Place, right?
Yeah, I didn't know. I never played before. So, you know, when they didn't have any money, I'd say, okay, well, you can stay in the game, but I get all of your houses and property, and you have to pay me when you land on them. And they were like, Dad, that's how the mafia works. That's not the monopoly.
That's so funny. Okay, so Forrest Family Fun at the Migliorato household might not be as fun. That's great. So what do you think about setting a timer, Alan, when kids go on video games? I do think that sometimes they need, you know, after the full day of school, they need a little time to just decompress, you know, and whether that's outside or if it's a rainy day, finding something else to do that's not schoolwork before they dive into their homework. My kids have typically been kids who want to get home and do their homework to be done with it. Mm. But what do you think about maybe setting a timer for a video game?
If we can encourage our kids to set that timer, I think we're doing more good.
I think
if we set it, maybe in the early stages of helping them,
right?
Like here's the timer. You know, we're going to set it to 30 minutes, say, or an hour, or whatever it is. And so, mm-hmm. when that goes off, you're done. And then encourage them as they get older. Hey, don't forget to set your, you know, to set your timer or watch your time. Watch your time on that.
Yeah.
You know, and if they're not listening to it, then you can, you know, then you take steps. You know, it's like, look, I asked you to watch this time. And my concern is not that I want to make sure that you're not enjoying your video game, but that you might be neglecting other things and becoming absorbed in this. So let's get back to using the timer, please.
Right.
You know, you go in little steps.
Alan, it just hit me back in the day when we were teens. We didn't have video games, but we sure as heck had albums. And I had a lot of friends who would spend hours upon hours listening to music, and I'm going, like, what a waste of time. But, you know, but that was that good, bad? I mean, they turned out to be okay people.
Well, I think we all turn out to be okay people. I think the thing is
not everyone.
Become formed. Well, that's true. But, you know, helping our kids become formed. Like, I played too much baseball when I was a kid. I honestly did. I was outside from the time that I woke up until it got dark. I mean, hitting a ball against the fence. So, like, my parents would get mad that I was doing that. So I really think it's more about consuming behaviors that, you know, behaviors that consume us that we've got to watch out for, whether it's video games or, you know, playing solitaire. Somebody could get, you know, absorbed in doing that.
Yes.
So we just got to watch things for things that absorb us.
Got it. Thank you so much, Alan Migliorato. Check him out at adventurecatholic.com. There's information about his books and all kind of great resources. Thanks so much. It's 7:45.
Good morning, everyone. 7:48 on Wake Up on a Monday morning. Time to get the gears in gear and get moving. It's going to be a beautiful day, and it's also a new day for us in New Orleans.
That's right.
So I'm Damian Collado along with Felicia Quibido and Miss Gabby Smith over in our new studios in New Orleans. Say hi, Gabby, so everybody knows you're there.
Yes, hi. Yes, we've officially partnered with Loyola University of New Orleans to work with students. So they'll be behind the scenes for some mornings for Wake Up. And I have to give a shout out to Albert DuPont, who has made this possible along with Father Chris Decker, Jeff Blackwell, Karen Cotton, and David Dawson. So it's such a wonderful collaboration that we've started. I'm excited.
We're so grateful to Loyola for this opportunity.
Yes, we are.
Awesome.
And we're going to be doing a lot of things and to come. So
there you go. Yes. I think we maybe even should have a coffee club coffee over there. I don't know if they're going to let us, Abby.
Oh, I'm sure we will. We will.
We'll see.
But in the meantime, let me tell everyone what to expect weather-wise today, okay? It will be mostly sunny. We're going to have a few clouds here and there. Those clouds could produce an afternoon shower. Don't let it get you down. It's going to come and go rather quickly. Very light winds out there right now. Also, if you're worried about the heat, it's the heat index is going to be somewhere around 105. All the way down up to 110 along the coast and in New Orleans, where there's a lot of concrete and blacktop, so the heat is even worse there. Temperature-wise, though, Biloxi 83, New Orleans it's 81, Houma Thibodeau 78, also in Baton Rouge it's 78 degrees and sunny. So it's going to be a beautiful day overall, and just just what a great way to start the week. Kids are back in school. All kids, yes. just about, I say kids, college
Even the
students,
big ones.
The big ones, the big kids yeah. are
the big ones are there. That's right.
So wow. With that being said, our next guest, I think we were having trouble getting a hold of. So in the meantime, while we try to reach out to David Adams, who's with the Cross Catholic Outreach. I would like to say a few things about them.
Sure.
They actually are working in Haiti right now. They also work in 33 different countries across the globe. But their efforts right now are impacting and helping out the folks in Haiti. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's been an overlooked story and situation because of the things that are going on abroad, storms and fires on the East Coast, West Coast. But but the poor folks of Haiti, they were hit with a devastating earthquake about 2.5 weeks ago. Then that was followed by tropical storm, depression, Grace. Yes. And it put torrential rains on them. And they are just suffering like you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be able to get David Adams on. But if you would, you could just go to Cross Catholic Outreach and help them out. 95% of the monies they raise go toward the projects.
That's awesome.
And they're handling almost 300 projects all across the world. So they're
that's a great percentage.
Here's one other caveat. Okay. You wonder how true is that?
Right.
Let me tell you who some of the board of directors and advisors are.
Okay.
Our Archbishop Gregory Amen of New Orleans. He's on the board.
Okay.
You also have Sam Jacobs, Bishop Sam Jacobs. Everybody knows who that is. Also Mobile Bishop Thomas Rohde. Wow. And not to mention Joe Strickland, Bishop Joe Strickland out of Tyler, Texas.
Wow.
And the Bishop of San Francisco, Salvatore Catalioni.
Yes.
So
these are the big guys.
That's right. All they have is their heart and soul in it. They're not getting any monies to be on this board of directors and advisors. So if you want to help out, especially know that your monies are going to go to a worthwhile organization and not get siphoned off somewhere along the way, I'm going to suggest you go to Cross Catholic Outreach. Gabby, have you been involved with them over the years?
Because as a student? Yeah, we have Cross Catholic Outreach on Wake Up for years now, talking about the Box of Joy campaign, which brings a box for Christmas to a child in need over in a third world country like Haiti. And it's just so, they give you things that the kids have asked for, whether it's socks or colors.
Things they need.
Or something that, I mean, it's not an Xbox or something like that. It's something that they actually need, like a toothbrush or, you know, useful items. So we've talked to them before. Actually, Father David Karen, he used to work for the Archdiocese or be a part of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, is now with Cross Catholic Outreach. He was actually next door to our studios on Howard Avenue before he did move over. And so he is now involved with Cross Catholic Outreach. But they've done great work and have always been on the front lines when it comes to disaster relief and help. So hopefully we'll get David Adams on in the future. But crosscatholic.org is where you can go to find out more information. And hopefully soon we'll be talking about Box of Joy because that is such a wonderful campaign.
That's right.
That's been very successful.
I'm going to give you a teaser.
Okay.
We've applied to be a drop-off. A Baton Rouge studio has applied to be a drop-off location for your Box of Joy. So stay tuned for that. We're just waiting on confirmation from them, but we have tentatively set up hours on their days of pickup. So it should be pretty exciting.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And with that being said, here's an event that I'm not sure people are aware of, but in New Orleans, you can go to the Museum of the Old Ursuline Convent.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes. And if you've never gone, it's really a neat experience.
Is.
And the Church in the Crescent is the current theme, 300 years of Catholicism in New Orleans. It's open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday. So you could go today from 10 until 2. The last admission is at like around 1:15. If you get there at 1:30, they're probably not going to let you in. So try to get there about 1:15 if you're going to go today. And admission is $8 for general admission, $7 for seniors, $6 for students and military. I share that because you're really going to love going.
Yes.
It's located at 1112 Charter Street at the corner of Charters and Ursuline and in the historic French Quarter. So
beautiful.
I just wanted to get that out there because they're open again and they're doing their thing, and it'll the funds also go to help the school and the nuns there. And,
beautiful.
Yeah. And one other thing I want to mention is the coming up in New Orleans. Let me find it. Oh, St. Jude International Shrine Fundraiser is going to be this Saturday coming up from 1 until 4 at Finn McCool's. Never been to Finn McCool's, Gabby?
Well,
you've been to Finn McCool's?
I have not.
All right.
This could be the first time.
It's at 3701 Bank Street in New Orleans. They're going to have food, drink, and entertainment. Prizes galore. Everything from $1,000 they're going to give away, $500, electric bike, barbecue grills, 55-inch TV, all these things. Saints tickets. I hope those are still something people want.
because of, you're alluding to NFL, not that we are Saints fans,
No. Oh, I am a Saints fan.
Yes,
it's actually tickets to the Saints-Packers game, so that's going to be a great game.
That will be a great game.
So if you want to go, or if you would even like to help out, you don't even have to show up, but you can call Donna Verros at 504-457-6540. That's 504-457-6540. And you can get one ticket for $3, or they'll give you four tickets for $10. So,
and this is for the raffle.
And a lot of stuff. Yeah, and it's cool. You could also go to the St. Jude Shrine gift shop, located on Rampart Street.
And that's a beautiful, if you haven't been to St. Jude in New Orleans, beautiful, beautiful place
so,
to go.
Yes. With that being said, anybody else have anything to say before we wrap up this morning?
No, I think it's time.
Yeah.
That's great. Perfect timing.
All right, well, let's do that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O St. Joseph, God Almighty granted you the heroic and noble duty of being guardian of the Blessed Virgin Mary, guardian of the Son of God, and guardian of the Holy Catholic Church. May I, by your powerful intercession, be as you are, a true and faithful guardian and protector of those for whom I am responsible for. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us and protect us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.